But today we will be returning back to the parables and looking at the parable of the place of honor is what it's often referred to. A place of honor. What is a place of honor? I was thinking, there's a place of honor in our house. And my kids could probably even tell you which one that is. And I probably should have moved this flag. You laugh. You have that same place of honor in your house. Actually, that would be the opposite of a place of honor. And we all know that. There's no honor there in a timeout with your face in a corner. But it is a consequence for disobedience. It's also humiliating if others are around. We all know when someone's in the corner and the other siblings are kind of watching and smirking and giggling, it's a place of humiliation, is it not? A place of honor, though, is a place that everyone wants to be because it is a special place. Everyone can see that you are special if you are in a place of honor. I think if we're honest, it feels good to be appreciated and recognized. I don't think we regularly see places of honor. There are awards, banquets, and other ceremonies that bring the spotlight to someone, and these types of things do honor people for their achievements or for something that they've done. Other places of honor are really places that just cost. VIP sections at places or events may have more to do with wealth than honor. First class on a flight does not necessarily mean someone is good or worthy of honor. They were just simply willing to pay the extra charge for first class. But I know that I've talked to my kids a number of times, and there are places of honor in school, and they may tell me one of the places of honor in the classroom might be at the front of the line as they walk from one room or go to another or going outside, referring to this as the line leader. It's someone that can be trusted, and their good behavior has allowed them that honored position in front of the line. Everyone in the class knows this position is special, and they all want it. I suppose all of us might have little places of honor in our homes, not the corner. Maybe it is getting to sit by someone at the table for meals. Maybe that's the place of honor. Maybe it is the one who gets to hold the remote control for the TV. Maybe it's the one who gets to sit at the computer. Maybe you don't have something like that in your home. But if a place of honor is a place of recognition and esteem, the opposite would be a place of humiliation or shame. I kind of showed you this with spending time in a corner. But there's much more. And I would like to begin reading from Luke chapter 14, starting with verse 1. If you want to turn with me in your Bibles or your digital devices, or you can also read it up on the screen, I will have it. Luke 14, verse 1. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him away. Then he asked them, "If one of you has a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out?" And they had nothing to say. First of all, this is the context right before Jesus shares the parable that I'll be looking at today. At first, I read these verses and thought it really had little to do with the parable that I was teaching on. Obviously, these verses show, one, that Jesus has the power and the authority to heal. He is the Son of God. And two, he was challenging the Pharisees in their view of how to keep the Sabbath. They didn't like that he healed people on the Sabbath, even though they would be okay with someone rescuing a person or livestock from a place of peril. Those are just a couple of the major points that we find from those verses. But yet there is something here that is not immediately seen that does apply to our parable. Jesus was asked to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee. Was he given a place of honor when invited to come? We're not told that he was, but we're told that Jesus was given a place that he could be carefully watched. The Pharisees, those are the religious leaders of the time, they didn't like Jesus. It's very apparent when we read through the Gospels that they didn't like him. Jesus often challenged their many rules and regulations, and he was also good about pointing out their faults in spite of the fact that these Pharisees didn't think they had any or thought they were nearly perfect. But they were watching Jesus carefully. But only Jesus saw someone with no place of honor. I would say that he was almost invisible to those who came to hear the Pharisees' debate with Jesus. The invisible man was the one who was suffering. Most versions of the Bible will say that he suffered from dropsy. I had to look that up. But this is really a symptom of a more serious problem. Dropsy is the retention of fluids in the body. Meaning this man was very swollen, which might indicate some life-threatening illness. Something like heart disease, heart problems. Was this man a guest with the Pharisees? Was this man a beggar who managed to get close to Jesus? We don't know the answers to those questions, but we know that his physical appearance was obvious. He was swollen. He was there, but he had a significant illness. Yet he still came to get to Jesus. Some of you might have remembered, I've mentioned this before, but right after our second daughter was born, I came down with a bad case of Bell's palsy. If you don't know what that is, it's a temporary, often temporary, condition where nerves and half of the face quit working. You cannot control one side of your face. After going to the ER and realizing I wasn't having a stroke, thank goodness, I was sent home. But after a day or two, my right side really began to droop. The fact is, those nerves were no longer sending signals to the muscles, and the muscles just relaxed. And I had a droopy face. We also had a vacation planned at that very time, and we decided to go ahead and go on our trip. I felt a bit miserable. Eating, sleeping, talking, they had their challenges, but going into public places with a saggy, droopy face, I was very self-conscious of it. I remember holding my cheek up with one hand if I had to talk to someone. I don't know if it made it worse or better, but at least I could talk and hide a little bit of, you know, it didn't feel right. Very self-conscious of it. I thought people were staring at me, and I really felt humiliated. I just didn't want to go where other people were. Fortunately, we were camping, so we were kind of by ourselves most of the time. But I didn't want to be around people. It's how I felt at the time. And maybe you can relate with something like that or an illness like that. But this man who was very swollen, dealing with health issues, despite what he was going through, he still wanted to be near Jesus. Despite the challenges that he had, he was more concerned about being near Jesus than his appearance or how he felt. The Pharisees, did they even see him? Did they know he was there? Were they concerned about this man in need? Jesus poses the question, is it okay to heal on the Sabbath? And there was no answer. It's obvious Jesus is looking at this man who is swollen, who is in need. And he's asking these religious people around him, is it okay to heal on the Sabbath? They know Jesus is looking at this man. What was their answer? Silence. No action. No nothing. Did the others... did they really know that Jesus was wanting to heal this man? Was this man a beggar that they had ignored? Was he a guest, but really just there? We don't really know why he got there, but we know that those Pharisees failed to speak up for this man in need. Have there been times that we have walked past someone in need and never even batted an eye? Have there been times that we should have spoke up for someone, spoke up or did something for someone, but instead remained silent? Have there been times that we are so focused on something that is not really important that we missed what is important? You see, recently the Lord gave me a little rebuke a little while ago, and I missed an opportunity where I put my time above a need of someone else. I hate when those things happen. It's like, Lord, I missed an opportunity because I put my time above someone else. Are we looking for those moments that God puts in front of us? Are we looking for those moments that we can serve the Lord? See, living in the United States, our nation has prided itself with success and prosperity and busyness. And it's a trap that we often can find ourselves getting stuck in. Something like where my time or my presence is worth so much, and I put other things aside because it doesn't seem like it's worth my time. Again, it's a trap. It's pride. That's what it is. It's pride. And Jesus addresses this very thing right after Jesus heals this swollen man. Jesus addresses this issue in the parable that we're going to look at. So let's continue reading on with verses 7 through 11. Right after Jesus heals that man, this is what happens. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this man your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. See, Jesus stays at that house after healing the man. Though Jesus is being carefully watched, Jesus is also carefully watching those that are there. He saw the sick man. He saw that sick man that was there who humbly came, even when it very well might have been difficult because of the illness or the swelling or just being in front of people. Embarrassing. But that man came, and that man would not have had a place of honor in the Pharisee's house. If he was not a guest, then he wasn't welcome. If he was a guest, he would likely have had that least honorable seat. But what did Jesus do? Jesus honored the man by healing him. Yes, he was making a point to the Pharisees about the value of people. But they weren't getting it. Instead, each of the guests that came into the Pharisee's home valued themselves. In an ancient meal, there was often a U-shaped table. The host would be at the base, and the most honored guests would sit the closest to him. So Jesus is giving us a picture of a group sizing each other up, looking around to see if there's anyone better. I mean, how would they have measured this? One author said, is it like social snobbery? Do they look around the room and go, well, I'm better than them. I'm better than them. Is that how it was done? Maybe someone would be like, I'm looking around and I'm so good that I should be the host because everyone would want to be surrounding me. Do they measure by possessions or other things? Would we measure, if this is something that we were to take part in, how does that get measured? Of who's better? I have more things, or maybe I have a lot more scripture memorized, or maybe it's how many hymns or songs are memorized. Do we measure by age and life experience? Do we measure how we keep the laws and commandments? Do we measure by how much money we give or the titles we have? It's a little interesting to think about, but I want you to be thinking that sometimes we unconsciously do this. Sometimes we measure, well, I'm a better Christian. I'm a better faithful attender. And this is something that Jesus is really kind of hitting on. What makes someone more honorable than another? Jesus didn't like what they were doing. They thought so highly of themselves that they wouldn't speak up for this man in need when Jesus is asking if it's okay to heal on the Sabbath. They said nothing. So Jesus shares the parable, one that we can relate to today. And I know a number of you had attended a wedding reception just last night. But Jesus gives the parable of a wedding feast and a wedding table. And we all know that the bride and groom usually sit together, and they're often would be considered what the hosts of the party. They would sit at a table, and then who sits with them at that table, it's usually the wedding party. The best man sits next to the groom, the maid of honor. Oh yeah, there's honor right there. The seat of honor. The maid of honor sits next to the bride. We see this happen at weddings. The bride and groom, and they're the hosts, and the wedding parties at the table, and families usually sitting close by. Yet Jesus is saying, should a guest sit in the wedding party seat, and then all the other tables get filled up, and when the wedding party comes in, this guest who sat in the wrong spot is going to be asked to move. Well, what's left for seats is the seat way off in the corner. Kind of humiliating in the middle of a ceremony. So Jesus is sharing with us what it looks like to have that humiliation. But unfortunately, with this parable, it's the person didn't accidentally make a mistake of sitting in the wrong seat. They simply thought that's where they belonged because they thought so highly of themselves. And it's looking at pride. Jesus says, do the opposite. Don't look for that seat of honor, but instead take the lesser seat. Meaning, don't think that highly of yourselves. Be humble. To be humble is to take a position of lowliness, to take an attitude of lowliness. Jesus was the Son of God, but what did He do? He came to serve. He didn't come to have the entire world serve Him once He was born. He came humbly, and He came to serve. That's the example for us to follow. Jesus had all authority. Jesus, He could do everything, but yet He came to serve. Follow Jesus and not those who are out just for themselves. See, we have to be careful when it comes to that humility. Jesus even made some accusations of false humility, to saying things that might make one appear humble, but they were instead puffed up and really just all about themselves. The Apostle Paul speaks of this some in the Colossians 2:18. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Really looking at someone who has the appearance of being humble, but they're really out for gain. They're really out because they think that they are the most important. Paul is saying, if you follow after that, you're not going to get where you're wanting to be. You're going to miss the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. See, we're to follow Jesus and definitely not follow those who sound good and look humble but are really far from Christ. Why? Verse 11 says, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Those humbled before the Lord will be honored. But those who only care about themselves will be humiliated. But it's more than just that. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 23, verse 11. I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation here. The greatest among you must be a servant. That first verse, it gives us what we need to do. The greatest among you must be a servant, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. It's really saying the same thing that we saw in our parable. In verse 13, what sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites. We're seeing right here in Scripture that the religious leaders, those Pharisees, they're hypocrites. They wanted to look the humble part, but they weren't humble. It was all about themselves. Sorrow awaits. For you shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You won't go in yourselves, and you don't let others enter either. What sorrow awaits you teachers of the religious law and you Pharisees? Hypocrites. For you cross land and sea to make one convert, and then you turn that person into twice the child of hell you yourselves are. Those are some strong words. Those are very strong words. The servant will be exalted, but those who are full of pride and self-importance, those who are full of arrogance and even self-worship, those are the ones that are going to be humbled. So what does that humbling look like? It looks like it's going to cause sorrow. And we get a glimpse that it'll lead to eternal judgment. That last line, a child of hell, twice as bad. Now, I know many of us have probably thought we've seen a child of hell in like a convenience store, something like that. And although that's comical, and I feel bad for the parents, this is serious. What Jesus is talking about here. To train someone in false humility, to train someone to be all about themselves, and to train them up, they'll be worse than who trained them. And a child of hell is really getting to the point that's their destination if they don't change for Jesus. The religious elite were not about honoring God and doing what was pleasing in His eyes. They instead wanted to do what was pleasing in their own eyes and in the eyes of those who were just like them. You see, when we truly humble ourselves before the Lord, following Jesus' example and being a servant, we will find ourselves being spoke up for by Jesus on the day of judgment. We get a picture that, you know, we may have tough times here. We may be serving the Lord in different ways here. And it may feel like, well, what is it? What's in it for me? And that's what Satan's going to try and really tug at us and say, well, Satan is going to say, well, what are you getting out of this? You serve and serve and serve. Well, what do you get? When is it your time to shine? And it may not be here. But the time when Jesus is making a final judgment to eternal hell or to heaven and in His presence with Him for an eternity, He's going to speak up for those who humbled themselves before Him. We all deserve eternal punishment. But those that are faithful to Jesus, He's going to say, not hell's not for them. I have taken their punishment. And so, if we look at the full picture of from beginning to eternity, Jesus is going to exalt His faithful followers to His presence in heaven. And that's what we get to look forward to, even if things are tough here. But that is the good news. That is the great news that we get to look forward to. I do have one more scripture I would like to read out of Romans 12, verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. As we look at what it means to be humble, we know that without Christ we have no hope, no future, no life. But with Christ, we have life, we have hope, we have a future. Let us give praise to the Lord for loving us enough to give us those things. And we can serve Him with tremendous joy because of what we are looking forward to, the promises that we've been given.